Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends. The Grace Hour is a daily broadcast that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges, helps him or her learn about their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be your host today, and I'm joined in the studio today with Pastor Barry Quirk. And today we'll be talking about the value of a Christian education. That's our theme this week here at the Grace Hour. And again, we have somebody who has been, well, involved in Christian education for many, many years. In fact, he himself is a product of Christian education. He can tell you about that a little later in the broadcast. We want to say thank you so much for joining us for our podcast today. You can watch us, and don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, the Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. And again, you can tune in all this week as we will be discussing and highlighting the value of a Christian education. We do want to remind you that we can take your phone calls during the broadcast today. The hope, of course, is that you will join us. And if you have comments, questions, we would ask that you would, again, tailor those comments and questions to our subject and our theme here in the Grace Hour, the value of a Christian education. So we'd love to hear what you have to say about our subject as the show progresses today. To join us, it's quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, toll-free, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in all of North America. And the local number here in the Baltimore area is 410-483-3700. And we will be with you live for the next 45 minutes or so, answering some questions about this subject and talking about the importance and the value of a Christian education. Welcome, Pastor Barry Quirk.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Love. Good to be with you today. And Christian education obviously is something that we're a little bit passionate about. Both of us dealing with youth for a long time. You didn't have to put so many many's in that many, many years, but we were getting.
I'm just trying to highlight the value of experience.
Okay. Yeah, we're reminded daily of how many, and I tell you, it's an awesome thing to be a part of something as valuable as Christian education. And we know the foundation part of it is really what we're thinking about. And you know, sometimes we measure success in ways that are very obvious and overt. And I think in our world, we're looking for 5 years after graduation, where are people going? Are they walking with God? Have they had roots that have grown in them? And I think that's something that's really awesome. I just want to maybe start our conversation together with something that Pastor Hadley sent me this week via email, and I thought it was very pertinent to this topic. This is a quote by Noah Webster, our good buddy that has the Webster Dictionary, and this is what he said. He said, "The foundation of all free government and all social order must be laid in families and in the discipline of youth. Young persons must not only be furnished with knowledge, but they must be accustomed to subordination and subjected to the authority and the influence of good principles. It will avail little that youth are made to understand truth and correct principles unless they are accustomed to submit to be governed by them. And in any system of education," and I want to emphasize this, "any system of education which limits instruction to the arts and the sciences and rejects the aids of religion in forming the character of citizens is essentially defective." So quite a thought there that, you know, we can study art, we can study science, but if we don't have the thoughts of God to come along with it, then it's majorly defective.
Powerful statements from somebody that so well respected throughout our nation's history.
Yes.
And, you know, just we're hearing a lot today about the danger of simply going to the public schools. This is something that's foremost right now here in the Baltimore area. In fact, just recently there have been a number of assaults between students that are taking place in the public school system. We're seeing, you don't have to be even that greatly informed to see what's happening on a nationwide level. And it's not so much that we are suggesting that your kids will simply be safer in a Christian school. There's so much more to it than just a young person's safety, because what's happened in some public schools can obviously happen in a Christian school. But the fact of the matter is, when you're surrounded by people who love you, care about you, and want to see you succeed from a spiritual perspective, that makes such a big difference. And we can talk about the value of the education that they're going to get in a Christian school, because some people have suggested, Pastor Barry, that, well, a Christian school, you don't get as good an education as you would in a public school. Mm. We'll talk about that later. But yeah. Just what about the environment of faith yeah. that a young person finds himself or herself in as they go to a Christian school?
Yeah, there is no question that that's one of the hot topics about this, the whole principle of Christian education. You know, should Christians send their children to public schools? Is it important to have the influence of Christianity in a public school? Of course it is. And we think that there's a real value in bringing Christ into the public schools, but there's also a real danger of bringing someone who's young and impressionable into a public school. And when you're talking about environment and safety, and we will address that a little later here, but this principle of Matthew 5:13 of salt and light, you know, Christians are needed to be salt and light. Is that true in a Christian school? Yeah, for adults, not impressionable children. Can we affect the public school environment by putting adults there who are able to think beyond what a child who's learning, what his teachers are teaching is going to be what he emulates and what he learns. And I would say, you know, before we even think about that, just this whole principle of what is the purpose, why even think about Christian school for our children, and how does that go towards what you're just saying, the environment of their lives? We know that Proverbs 22:6 says that we train a child up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You know, but let's think about that from the other standpoint. The foundation that we give them in public school could be the way that they don't depart from in their later youth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that, you know, we're all familiar with people, and we even have children of our own that have gone through Christian schools. I mean, I can't even imagine, I'm sorry, yeah. but I can't imagine not sending my children to a Christian school. Hmm. Are there sacrifices involved when parents decide to do that? You bet there are. Mm-hmm. And mostly from a financial perspective, because the public school system, that's already paid by your taxes.
Right.
But now you're going beyond that, and you're paying for their tuition. But you are making an investment in their future, not only from a faith standpoint, but even from an academic standpoint, because, you know, you can always find young people that say, oh, you know, I went to a Christian school. I wish I had gone to a different school. Come on. You're healthy. You're wholesome. You're safe. What's the damage that was done in a Christian? There was no damage done.
Right.
You should be eternally grateful that you grew up. Some people say, well, it was a small school. I didn't get to know. Well, so what?
Yeah.
Even when you're in a big school, you still only have a small circle of friends that you associate with, spend time with.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Again, I just think it's ideal for raising children and young adults in our culture today.
Yeah. You hit on a few, actually many topics that we could address. You know, I like this question that gets asked, well, how will they learn to counter it if they never encounter it, for a reason to put their kids, subject their kids to a public school environment? And, you know, some of those same Christian leaders who are saying that would never think about putting an unbeliever in the pulpit on a Sunday, because they know what's communicated from the pulpit is important for the upbringing of the church member. Well, yet we would stick our children in the environment where they're going to be taught by somebody whose thoughts and principles are completely counter to what we are thinking in life. You know, Christian school is, as you mentioned, there's so much more. It's the whole child that's being developed, right? It's academically, for sure. The rigor, being able to think with God. I had the experience of taking a 30-year gap between my Bible college education and going after a master's degree in business. And I was with students who were, you know, fresh out of University of Tennessee and all of these places, and it was very intimidating in a way that you would be subjected to students. And yet I found that what I gained by being in the Word of God and learning how to think with God in the details of life, learning how to navigate through situations, put me at such an advantage. It was incredible. What are we teaching our children today? What do they need to be prepared for life, not just to learn how to pass a math test. And there's a huge difference, by the way, between learning what to think and learning how to think. Such an important difference.
I love, you know, that foundational principle where they need to be prepared for life.
Yes.
Again, the academics, they are important. And I think that we in our Christian school, you're the principal of that school. Academics are, you know, they're highlighted. Their value and their important. And again, we get to see across the board these students flourish academically. In the arts, music. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And again, I can't speak for every Christian school because I'm not familiar with the way they operate, but I can speak on behalf of ours. What I've seen my children and my grandchildren get out of a Christian education has been outstanding. Mm. And then I've seen them go on and further their education in colleges and universities that maybe are not necessarily Christian, but the foundation has been laid.
Absolutely.
The convictions in many cases have been established. Now, if those convictions aren't established, that's a different story.
Yes.
But you can also see the results of when you establish that foundation when they're very young, but then they move into college and university level, and the impact and the influence there is overwhelming.
Incredible.
To the extent that some young believers in those universities and schools can abandon their faith.
Absolutely. You know, there's a key word that I like to use in our school, and I think it's very relevant to just Christian education in general, and that's this word called navigation. And the definition of navigation is the process or activity of accurately ascertaining one's position and planning and following a route. You know, students who walk into a school without proper foundational truth in their lives, if they don't have the things of God to complement what they're learning in the classroom, do not know how to navigate their way through life. We drive in Baltimore down these highways, and I thank God for my GPS that on a daily basis will tell me there's an obstacle ahead, don't go this way. And if I listen to it, then I avoid some real serious pitfalls. The thinking that we get from the mind of Christ and in the Word of God gives those students an incredible advantage when they're going through life. And I would hate to see what it would be like to go to colleges and universities in our land today with all of the promiscuity and all of the abstract thinking and all of the things that are confronting our students today. If they don't have a foundation of truth that says, don't go that way, we're going to be in serious trouble. And you brought up some true facts. Unfortunately, there are a number of people that leave their church life when they get involved in public school education or they get involved in the college life. As a matter of fact, there was a National Sunday School Association survey a number of years ago that said as many as 70% of Christian children and young people who attend public school drop out of their churches between the ages of 12 and 17 years old. And those in college, the numbers are even higher.
I know I have a copy of a book entitled Already Gone, and that the book it addresses this subject of young people leaving church.
Yes.
And in essence, what it says is that they're already gone because of the great influence of the culture that we live in today. And, you know, recently I had someone come in and as a parent and both parents and their child, maybe around sixth grade, and in a public school, and students, you know, in her class are, you know, suggesting to her that, you know, her relationship with another girl is perfectly all right, and that relationship should be built and developed. And the parents are just, they're in shock, they're outraged, rightly so. But this is happening wholesale. And again, I think that if you see the tip of the iceberg, remember that that's only 10% of the iceberg. What lies beneath the surface of the ocean, is 90% that you don't see.
Yeah.
And we're all familiar with the Titanic story. So, you know, it wasn't what was seen that did all the damage. It was what was unseen. And if we know that that's happening, you know, in our culture, then it's found its way into the public school system. What hope do our children have, or our grandchildren have today in light of, I mean, the pressures today are immense, over the top. And the only way you're going to counter it is by having these biblical convictions established in your souls.
Yay and amen. I couldn't agree with that principle anymore. First of all, let's just stop and think for a minute. What is wrong with this world that we live in, where a teacher could be pressured into saying that that kind of perverse thinking is 100% okay? Don't squelch that voice. Don't run away from that activity. It's okay that it doesn't feel right or that it's abnormal. It's who you are. And yet, God forbid that we bring up the principles of Christ or the Word of God, because that is, you know, subversive and influences in a way that's not loving or kind. When it's the whole world is flipped upside down, it's the exact opposite. It's an incredible thought.
They call good evil and evil good.
Absolutely,
we move more and more toward a culture that, well, the clouds of darkness are coming upon us very quickly, and it's. You know, it's so important that parents recognize this and do everything they can to counter it. Now, what if you have parents who recognize that this is happening in the culture, in the school system today, but they don't have the means or the opportunity to take their children and to put them into Christian education? I mean, what can be done for those folks?
Yeah, boy, that's a tough thing, because there's really only a few different things that you could, you know, look at as options. Obviously, one of the best would be to homeschool them. But homeschooling is a commitment. It's an incredible commitment. I would say homeschooling, and I'm saying this as the principal of a Christian school, and it might sound somewhat controversial, but if it was possible to homeschool in a healthy way, I think the education you can receive is fantastic. It's got to be in conjunction with a good youth ministry, so they have the opportunity to be socially interacting with others who have like-minded faith. The education, the fact that a parent who, by the way, let's talk about this for a minute while we're saying this, whose responsibility is it to educate children? And we say it is absolutely the parent's responsibility to educate children. Genesis 18:19 says that when God was referring to Abraham, he said, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord." It's a parent's responsibility, and we are co-laboring with them. So parents that say, you know, I can't afford Christian school, and we have found some people to be in that situation, and they are unable to get involved in a good homeschooling network, or they don't have the personal possibility of, or the capacity even, to educate their children on a daily basis. By the way, that's quite a task. A lot of people come back to us with a really healthy respect for what we do after they endeavor to homeschool themselves. And I would say, you know, it could come down to the fact that they would only have the opportunity to be in a Christian school. So at that point, what do they do? Well, there's got to be a few things that happen. One of those things is that there's got to be a lot of time spent personally with a parent who has their child in a Christian school. You know, I would not want to have a day go by where I didn't know what kind of influence was happening in my child's life in a school that was filled with philosophies that could be very well anti-God. We know that God's not allowed in the Christian school, in the public school, in many cases. There's also got to be an extra vigilance to have those students involved in the youth ministry and to have their spiritual life built up, right? Like, could you imagine not only going to public school, but not having any input or any foundation? Church life becomes important. The discussions around the dinner table become more important. They're important in our lives of our Christian school students, don't get me wrong. But imagine this. Imagine not reinforcing Romans 12:2. Which says very clearly, don't be conformed to this world. And I always think of that as a picture. If you take some Play-Doh and you have some yellow and you have some blue and they're pushed together, you know, the world is very clear. who I am is very clear, but the more they get pushed together, they become melded into one. Mm. And you don't know the difference between the world and between what's godly. And that's why we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind on a daily basis. And that's got to happen in those discussions at the dinner table. It's got to happen in the youth group, and it's got to happen in the church services for those young people.
Yeah. Candace is following us on YouTube Live, and in our chat, she has said, you can send your young people, your children to a Christian school, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll follow God. She says, I know plenty of people who, pardon me, went to Christian schools and didn't follow God. Yeah, that's true. We're not suggesting that if you send your children or grandchildren to a Christian school, that's a cure-all. No, I mean, are the influences that are in the culture and in the public school system, can they find their way into the Christian school? Of course they can. But the chances of you putting up a better fight against those influences, I think, obviously, would be found in a Christian school.
No question.
Because of the convictions that go there. But no, it's not a cure-all. It's not the answer. I think the answer, as you just pointed out, is having parents that are committed to raise their children for Christ.
Absolutely.
That's because everybody else, let's face it, Pastor Barry, we make fractional contributions. The principal makes a fractional contribution.
Right.
The youth pastor makes a fractional contribution. The coach makes a fractional contribution. The athletic director makes a fractional. Ours is a fractional contribution. The greatest contributor to that child's life are the parents.
Absolutely.
And that's why, getting immersed in your local church is absolutely vital.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you can even, I want to go even a step further than what Candace is talking about. She said, you can go to a Christian school, but you might not necessarily follow God. Listen, you can go to a Christian school and you might not even be a Christian.
That's true.
I think that people today are looking at a Christian school and saying, at least my child will be safer. At least they will be cared for. At least there will be someone that is committed to love them and to guard them and to protect them.
Yes.
So you can even have, I'd say, which is why even in our own chapels, we give the opportunity for young people to come to Christ, because even though they're in a Christian school, that's like you and me standing in a garage. It doesn't make us a car.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, how many public schools today started their day off at 8:30 with a room full of worship and a room full of students listening to the Word of God, as they did in our school this morning?
We did that.
And we did that. And I witnessed a fantastic message from Pastor Love. A couple things just to answer that, Candace, to go a little further. Really, we are talking about when given the choice between Christian school and public school, there's no question that having a Christian school, and by the way, Christian schools administrators, when we do interviews with families and we get pastoral references, and we are really relying on the communication of those families to tell us something about them. But we are also taking a calculated risk, because we know people go to job interviews, they make themselves out to be the best version of themselves. People come to school, Christian school interviews, they make themselves out to be the best version of themselves. They get a recommendation from a pastor. All of those things. Do we understand that they are human beings? Yes, we do. Do we understand that there are possible failures waiting to happen? Yes, we do. But God wants to give them an opportunity to learn how to navigate through life, how to have a direction that they can plan, how to avoid pitfalls, and how to be built up after the fact. I heard it again in the message this morning, that failure is only really the ultimate trouble when it becomes our identity. If it becomes something that happens that we can learn from and recognize and grow from, what's the problem with that? We grow. Is it possible that in a Christian school there could be drugs and smoking and bullying? Absolutely. What makes a Christian school Christian is not the name on the door. As a matter of fact, when we have people come in and interview for our school, we tell them we are Greater Grace Christian Academy with a capital C. And they say, what do you mean? I say, well, Christian with a capital C, in that are our books Christian? No, actually our math book is a secular book, and some would actually say it's satanic because they don't like the math that's involved in that book. Are all of our literature manuals, are they all Christian? No, they're not. But the people who are teaching those classes have a Christ-centered viewpoint. They understand the values of what they're teaching, and they have a shared value with us as believers.
Yeah. And I just love the fact that you go to a Christian school, you got a fighting chance. You got a fighting chance against a culture that wants to conform you to its standard. Remember something. We see, when we're talking about these principles, Pastor Barry, we cannot separate them from biblical truth. And biblical truth says, if you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind and becoming more Christ-like, then you're being conformed to the image of this world. I mean, that's just a fact.
Absolutely.
And of course, if you're talking about an educational system that's in the world, let's be honest. When we say the world, we're talking about a world that does not want to acknowledge God.
Yes.
A world that is anti-God. A world that is godless.
Yes. Absolutely. Here's 10 things that I listed today, just thinking about this morning, about Christian school, what it does. It gives a focus on character development. You know, what can we get that in a public school? There are coaches, there are teachers, there are influencers in a public school who have a calling on their life and who have decided that, yes, I want to influence somebody positively. I remember some in the public school days when I was living in Florida. There are also, sadly, some people who are going to influence our character development by what they are promoting in their own lives. And this is a big challenge. Do we subject our kids to somebody that they are going to learn to become like in their convictions? Number two, a Christian school will teach your child the Bible. We just said it this morning. We had a chapel service where the entire middle school and high school sat and learned a message from the Bible. Our Christian school shares moral values with the parents that are sending them there. This is not some place where you're going to send them to school and have to deprogram them at the end of the day, which sadly, as we brought up in the illustration earlier, somebody who is being taught that same-sex attraction is okay, experimenting with things outside of their parents' knowledge is okay, being misgendered is wrong. You know, all these things, right? Teachers who model Christian principles, a curriculum that aligns with our Christian values, including prayer as a part of our school day. Imagine that, having prayer as part of our school day. Every day we start our day. It provides a safe environment for academic growth, but not only that, how about for spiritual growth? Imagine that there are Christian schools where you're mocked for following God or being a Jesus freak. In our school, we endeavor to have an atmosphere where students can feel like they are able to grow and to express their faith in Christ, and they're not going to be mocked, but they're going to be thanked and congratulated and actually allowed to flourish in a school like that. And just a couple more, promotes positive peer pressure, which goes along with what I just said, encourages the development of the whole child academically, physically, spiritually, socially. Now, are kids going to say rude things to each other? They are. Are they going to be kids? They are. That's when it's our opportunity. And imagine you're the person that somebody in a Christian school did or said something untoward towards you. What are you going to teach your child in that? Well, we're going to say it's horrible that that happened, but what an opportunity to learn to navigate through a difficult situation. And this really lends to the last thing, and that is that gives your child the individual attention and instruction on not just what's in the classroom, but how to live your life outside of the classroom in a way that will profit you eternally, that will make you the next generation of a great leadership in our churches and in our world.
Amen. Such great thoughts. Friends, you can join us. The phone lines are open during our broadcasts, and anytime you'd like to pick up a phone and join us, just dial one of these numbers. Toll free in North America, that's 800-338-7060. The local number, 410-483-3700. I could see a generation ago someone saying, well, you know, maybe there's not such a world of difference between a public school and a Christian private school. Maybe I could understand it then, but not today. Mm-hmm. Not today. The stakes are higher. Make no mistake about it. You know, the devil knows this, and a lot of believers don't understand this. You know, whoever wins this generation, you know, wins the future.
Mm.
And if we're not involved in that battle, and again, it goes back to what we said earlier, that the Christian school at least gives our children a fighting chance. Again, it's not perfect. You're not going to find a perfect Christian school, like you're not going to find a perfect church or a perfect pastor or a perfect home life. None of that exists, not in this sinful and broken world.
Yes.
But you got a fighting chance to win your child so that they don't end up being conforming to this world system.
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it, it is the parents' responsibility to educate their children. And I would say yay and amen to the fact that just because I put them in a Christian school doesn't mean they're going to come out a Christian student. Just like you said, just because we're in a garage does not mean we're going to be in a car. Or that we are going to be a car. But also, parents are not all able to educate their children all day long. They don't have the time, the money, or the capacity to be able to do that. If you're independently, you know, can afford that, or you're independently wealthy, or you have an opportunity where you have a stay-at-home person who has the not only the desire to do it, but the capacity and the ability to do it, then that's fantastic. But there's no substitute for the parental part of that, which is why we're saying when you have your responsibility to educate your children, you are going to partner with somebody to do that. You're going to partner either with a godly Christian school that you've vetted and thought about and witnessed how the fruit of that school is, what the intention of the school is, what the statement of faith of the school is, or you're going to send them to a place where they could be affected by all kinds of things and cross your fingers and hope that their time at home will be enough to sustain them. And I just think it's really a long shot battle to do it that way. So we're not perfect. Christian schools are not perfect by any means. There's a lot of things that happen in Christian schools that it's not desirable, but by the grace of God, we have a fighting chance to teach our students how to think with God. And when difficult situations hit them, it's an opportunity to learn, to grow, and overcome those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we understand there are people that say, you know, I just can't afford it. I understand. God understands. And, you know, unless something changes, you can trust that God will give you the grace to, again, allow your student to go to a public school. But I think that you really have to be ever watchful, you know, really not only guarding your own heart, but to guard their hearts as well. You've got to provide a covering for them under those circumstances. I know throughout the years, you know, my own children with their children have said, well, I don't even know if I can afford it. Mm-hmm. I always respond by saying, I don't know if you can afford not to send them. Okay. I know it comes down to dollars and cents. I understand that. But sometimes when you take that step of faith and say, listen, look at the, you know, put them on the page and say, on the one side of the ledger, I don't send them to Christian school. The other side of the ledger are the finances.
Yes.
You got to look at the side that says, if I don't send them, what price will I pay?
Yeah. You know, I have the blessing of being in a Christian school where we're speaking to people who this is a financial challenge for. I say that a blessing because in many cases, you know, their question is, well, how can you make it more affordable for me? And sometimes the answer, unfortunately, is we can't. However, could it be that God has another provision? Could there be somebody who's raised up in your sphere of influence who would like to contribute to supporting a missionary right here in our local area, right? Like this is something that a Christian school education is worth fighting for. And, you know, really when God puts it on somebody's heart to come to Christian school, there's generally a provision that goes along with that. Now, is it a faith operation? Absolutely. There are even scholarships that are available through, I know here in the state of Maryland, we have scholarships that are offered from the Maryland government, believe it or not. And there are some nuances to that, and we can walk you through that if that should ever be a question. But where you can put your taxpayer money into an education that you choose to have your children go to and not what's forced down your throat in your local area. The question got asked earlier somewhere, and I read it in the chat, about sometimes we can't avoid having our kids go to public schools because of the services that are offered to them. And I would say that's true. You know, there are, we can't service everybody the way we would like to. We just simply don't have the resources. There's some remedial teachings that need attention. There's some learning difficulties that students need. Then there's a lot of resources available in those areas, but none of those negate the fact that we have to have investment in our children on a daily basis. They have to come and hear the word of God. They have to be involved in a youth ministry that's going to challenge them. They have to learn to fall in love with this book. They have to know, what is the reason I even read the Bible? You know, we have Bible classes with our students, and I stop in the middle of it and say, does anybody have any idea why we're talking about this? Because I want them to have a real conviction that this is going to help them beyond just getting a good grade on a test I'm going to give them on Wednesday. But it's going to be something that is foundational to them and helps them think in their daily life with God.
Absolutely. Still time for you to join us if you'd like to. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. You know, to those parents who, you know, it's just not possible to get their children or grandchildren into a Christian school, I think what we're trying to say is you don't want to adopt the mentality that says the bus pulls up, I put my kids on the bus, and they get their education. That's all I care about. No, if that's your attitude, then you're going to be shocked at what is poured into the hearts and the minds of your young people. If you have the attitude that says, listen, I don't have any other option, so this is what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be so involved.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that what's deficient in the public school is going to be made up by our involvement in our local church and our active involvement for my children or grandchildren in a youth ministry that that church provides. If the compensation is there,
yes,
for what's lacking in a worldly education, then of course God's going to be. He's going to show up. He's going to
yes.
take care of you. He's going to preserve your children. He's going to keep them. Again, we're just talking about those that have this mentality that says, I don't need to worry about it. I drop them off, pick them up, and I don't have to think about it. You do have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There are some really fine, awesome people who receive nothing but a public school education. And they, you know, for lack of better words, they may be robbed from the goats to feed the sheep, right? They learned what was available to them through their public school education system in a way that filtered through all the other garbage. There was the public school that I went to in Florida had some great clubs that were there. There was Fellowship of Christian Athletes. There was other groups that would get together and pray around the flagpole. There were people who were genuine Christians who knew what they were walking into. They assessed their situation and said, just because we're in enemy territory doesn't mean we have to lay down with the enemy. And I just think that that's an absolute truth that God is not going to be unfaithful to his people that simply don't have the means to be able to put their kids in a Christian school. We're not talking about just Christian schools. We're talking about Christian education. And I think there's a distinction that needs to be made. Christian education happens from the moment I wake up in the morning and I say, who am I? You know, and that moment I wake up in the morning, I could say, well, I'm a miserable failure, or I'm this, or I'm that. And if I don't have any reinforcement in truth that says, no, you are a child of God. You are brand new today. You can look in the mirror and say, I am the apple of God's eye. And that's the beginning of Christian education. And then as I go through my day, do I know how to think with God in the details of life? Well, that comes through learning the word of God categorically, hearing it in a message, learning it in your youth ministry, having your children actively serve their communities in a way that they know they're serving because of the heart of God and not because of some man-made expectation.
Amen. And we also want to point out that we're so grateful for those young people that find themselves in a Christian or a public school setting, and they are determined because they have strong convictions, biblical convictions in their soul, to make a difference in that public school.
Yeah.
They are there, and they're not going to be influenced. And again, this might be a small minority of young people that have those kinds of strong convictions.
Yes.
But I often reflect back on my years in high school, in a public high school. Pastor Barry, I do not remember one single Christian ever confronting me with the message of the gospel.
Hmm.
There had to be Christians in that school.
Yeah.
But they were too fearful.
Yeah.
It was just so, you know, obvious that you did not talk about those. And this was close to 50 years ago, but that was just the way it was. And, and I would have been, I don't know, I can't say whether or not I would have responded if someone did approach me with the gospel.
Yeah.
But eventually, in a short amount of time after coming out of high school, I did respond. So it's possible I could have responded. So I have all the, you know, praise I can muster up in my soul for those young people in a public school system that had the courage to stand up for Christ, not only the students, but the coaches.
Yes.
And the teachers and those people who say, listen, I'm here because I believe God wants me here, and I'm going to do everything I can, that I can, rather, to counter the culture that I find myself in.
Yeah, and amen. I mean, when we have a freezing cold day, we don't go to the front door and say, it's freezing cold outside, so I'm not going outside. We go and we get a warm jacket and we go outside.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, there are times when we are faced with situations that we don't necessarily want to make our, you know, our priority, but unfortunately we have to face them. And sometimes we're put in that position. And I would say, prepare yourself. That's all we're saying. Prepare yourself. Get on a jacket if it's cold. When it's raining, you put on a raincoat. When you're faced with people who are sick, you take your vitamins. You do what you have to do to take care of yourself, right? Well, same thing. We're talking about your walk, your children's walks with God, and how can we fortify them in a way that's going to help them?
Armor up.
Yep.
Armor up.
Absolutely.
Let's go to George. He's joining us live on our broadcast today from Middle River here in the Baltimore area. George, your thoughts.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Barry. Yeah, the Christian school today is just so important. I mean, it's light versus darkness. I mean, I can remember when I was in public school, they still had school prayer. You know, and that was driven out while I was in public school. And you know, I've talked to parents, I've talked to people about, you know, what's going on now in the public school system. And when I hear what's taught and what's said, it's such a drastic change. Mm-hmm. It's troubling. So there's nothing more valuable. It's that the Christian school is the highest form of education.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
You know, and our children desperately need, I know it's challenging for a lot of parents, you know, it's a cost, you know, it is a cost, you know, but it's imperative. If you can make it happen, because what they're up against now is like a drop in a bucket compared to what I was up against. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like, it's incredible. It's incredible what's going on in these schools. And I just thank God for our school, and Pastor Barry, I thank God for you and the staff there at Greater Grace Christian Academy, and God bless you all. Really, it's just so valuable, so valuable.
Thanks, George. That's an awesome compliment. And just to throw a plug in for our school, you know, I am responsible for looking at the schools in the area and comparing our tuitions and so on and so forth. And boy, we are one of the lowest tuition costs in the entire Baltimore area, and we provide one of the most incredible educations because of the team that George just alluded to, the dedication, the fact that there's commitment to doing the things of God. So we're really happy about that.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, and Pastor Barry, you are building a eternal foundation in their soul. Mm. So when they go out to meet the challenges in life, let's say they do go to become a nurse or a doctor, God leads them not to be in the mission field, but they'll still be prepared.
Yes.
Prepared,
you know? Yes,
yeah. Absolutely. So, George, thanks so much for your comments.
God bless you.
Maybe we can just mention there's some questions, specific questions about transitioning from homeschool to Christian school. Feel free to give us an email shout out at Greater Grace Christian Academy. You can go to ggca.org and you can email one of us. We're happy to answer individual questions or to follow up on some things that we can't do on the air here.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. And I want to mention what Dietmar Scherf wrote to us. Most definitely, he said, I recommend sending your children to a good Christian school. Mine went to GGCA, and he is now living out in, I think, the Las Vegas, Nevada area. They went to GGCA, and it was not only worth it in every way, but a great foundation and a huge blessing in their lives. Mm. Amen. A lot of people can say that.
Yep.
I'm one of them.
Me too. I mean, yep. I'm a graduate of Christian school, and its value in my life, you know, has been, there's been many days where it's been tempting to go another direction, and it's the things of God that I learned in a Christian school and in a great youth ministry with a great youth pastor that have kept us here thinking with God.
Thank God. Well, Pastor Barry, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us. You know, this is what you do on a full-time basis, so to have you share your thoughts with our listening audience today is invaluable. Mm. And friends, keep listening, because we're going to continue this theme throughout the rest of the week right here in the Grace Hour. So make your plans to tune in tomorrow. And don't forget, if you're in the greater Baltimore area, you can join us for our midweek service tonight at 7 p.m. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. And you can find a parking spot in our well-lit, safe parking area. God bless you. Till tomorrow at the same time.